Welcome back, guys. DGS305. Appreciate you going and voting for us for the Personality of the Year, Show of the Year at stltoday.com. You can do a click-through link on our Facebook page, or your smart people, you can figure it out yourself. Going to talk to Senator Bill Eigel here. You've seen the ads. He's running for governor against Mr. Kehoe and Mr. Ashcroft. He is currently the senator of the 23rd District, which is the St. Charles County area, also a business person, the owner of National Skylight Solutions. We know him from our time down at 97.1. I think it's Bill's first time appearing on the show in KMOX, and Bill, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
So, you know, we're watching the ads. I know you. I don't know Mr. Ashcroft. I don't know Mr. Kehoe. But we're watching the ads. My question to you, Bill, is you're all Republican. You're all conservative. I think you would probably all say that you're MAGA. Where are the differences? Where's the light between you and the other two gentlemen?
Sure. So I'm going to answer this as straightforward as I can. I am the only candidate in the race for governor that has committed that we will eliminate personal property tax in the state of Missouri. Both my opponents have come out and said that they're not going to support that, that they don't believe that can be done. I'm the only one that if you're interested in actually owning your car and not having to pay personal property tax, I'm going to lower the tax burden to get that done. In addition, all three of us, of course, have said we're going to go after income tax, but I'm the only one that's actually sponsored and passed a bill during my time in the Missouri Senate to actually lower the income tax rate in the state. So you know that I'm serious about cutting government in Jefferson City and eliminating income taxes as well. Second thing, I'm the only person that has come out and said we are going to detain and deport every single one of the 70,000 illegal immigrants that is in this state by declaring an invasion under Article 4 of the Missouri Constitution and activating the Highway Patrol, the National Guard, and every sheriff in every county of the state to go after illegal immigrants. Mike Kehoe came out over last weekend and said that any plan to deport illegals was foolish and impractical. So he's not going to do anything. He's apparently for amnesty. That is a direct assault on what Donald J. Trump has said that we are going to do in this country, which is deport the illegals in our country. I stand with Donald Trump and against my opponents. Finally, I'm the only guy that's talking about saving a farmland in our state by saying that we're not going to sell our land, not any more of our land, to China or any other foreign country. And I'm supporting a constitutional amendment that's going to require every single square inch that we've lost as a result of Mike Kehoe voting in 2013 to allow 250,000 of our acres being sold overseas to get back into American hands, transfer or sale. We're going to get all the land we've lost back.
Good answers, straightforward answers, and you got Wheeler on the personal property tax thing.
That's a big one.
That's a big get right there.
You know, 29 other states have already figured out that personal property tax is not a good way to fund local services. Missouri is going to be the 30th.
So, Bill, I'm interested in your evolution. If we go back to 2015, 2016, when Donald Trump was just fledgling candidate, since then, I've evolved to be less conservative. You've evolved to become more conservative. If you can think back to Bill Eigel circa 2015, did this kind of stuff with the MAGA agenda appeal to you back then? It just wasn't on the menu? Or have they brought you along over the years that you realized, you know what, this really is where my wheelhouse is?
Well, I think that the brand was less developed certainly in 2015 than it is today. I've always been a strong supporter. I love my country. As you know, I served in the military. The idea of putting America first is the same thing that I'm talking about, but putting Missouri first. You know, the economic agenda that I've got of going after the illegals, protecting our state sovereignty, reducing the size and scope of government. Well, that's actually the same kind of idea that you see in the Make America Great Again movement, because America is not going to be great if we continue to grow government. America is not going to be great if we continue to let the tax burden get out of control, spending getting out of control. So I've been the guy. I think that it was kind of a natural fit as that got going in 2016 and 2017. I support the idea. And actually, I think what's really impacted me the most is being a state senator, I have seen firsthand just how powerful the swamp in Jefferson City has become. So I have a natural affinity for a guy like Donald Trump, who maybe more than anybody else in Washington, D.C., has been able to resist the status quo and actually makes a habit of making them uncomfortable. I do that in Jefferson City all the time. So it's kind of a natural fit there. I've always been very hesitant about government since my experiences in the military. And so Now I'm envisioning a Missouri where you actually have less government and Missouri is more prosperous because of it.
Bill, flesh that out for us. I always view, maybe because I know so many people in the government and I consider them friends here in Jefferson County, that I think of Missouri as being less swampy than a lot of other states. In what ways does it still have a ways to go?
Well, there are states that are more swampy than Missouri. I mean, every one of the blue states are probably as swampy as Missouri. But think about, I'll take the state budget, for example. The state budget has grown more in the past 5 years under the Kehoe-Parson administration than in all the Democratic governors combined going back to the founding of the state. And remember, when it grows from $27 billion to $52 billion, there's a bunch of powerful special interests that are getting that money. Look at the conversation right now. I'm talking about getting rid of personal property tax and getting rid of income tax to make our state strong. Mike Parson and Mike Kehoe right now are not talking about those issues. They're talking about shoveling $1 billion of taxpayer money onto the Chiefs and the Royals over in Kansas City that somehow, because I guess $18 for a hot dog is not enough for these billionaires, that somehow that's going to get the state going. Well, that's crazy. And the only people that are thinking that that's a good policy, because the people of Kansas City actually already voted against this, are all these politicians down in Jefferson City that are more worried about servicing the powerful in Jefferson City, and this would be a great example, than everyday folks that could really use a personal property tax cut.
Bill, we've been asking everyone who does the show since the events of last Saturday, kind of tell me your story, how you found out that the president had been shot and the effect it had.
So I was traveling from an event from Kirksville to Mexico, Missouri, and we got the news, and I think that I felt the same kind of shock that most every American felt when they saw that. But as we were watching the video of the occurrence, I really felt just pride to be an American, to see a guy who's been attacked maybe more than any other politician in American history, now physically attacked, pop right back up. I mean, he was talking about, he was ready to get back up and start talking again. He wanted to make sure he didn't leave his shoes behind. So, he put his fist into the air, and, that was really not just a signal to the shooter, the person that was trying to harm him directly, but really this swamp in Washington, D.C., it's bigger than it's ever been before. We have more inefficient government than we've ever had before. And America, Missouri by extension, is stagnating because of it. So I think the people of Missouri, the people of America, they're looking for that disruptor. I mean, Donald Trump's winning the country right now on this message of being a disruptor. I believe that we're winning the state of Missouri right now on disrupting the Jefferson City swamp. And when you see the status quo say, well, we can't deport illegals because it's foolish and impractical. Those are Mike Kehoe's words, by the way, not my words. He's saying we can't do that. I'm saying we can. I'm the one saying we can get rid of personal property tax. I'm the one saying that we can protect our farmland. I'm the one saying that we can get this stuff, this pornographic material, this terrible content out of our schools that's infecting our children. Mike Kehoe is standing on the side and has been standing on the side of the establishment for years. And even though he's getting a lot of money to try to put all these attack ads out there, the reason they're attacking me right now is because we're winning and they know they're losing control.
One thing that you brought up, like the ads you've been putting out. One thing I wanted to ask you, Bill, I don't think you're a mean person, but when you said transgender trash, we heard from some of our listeners who either are transgender or their kids are, and they thought you meant that the people were trash. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to clarify what that meant in the ad.
No, I'm talking about the ideology. Yeah, this ideology that's being forced onto our children in the schools. And quite frankly, I have two children. When they were young, I didn't let them determine what their bedtime was, much less that which I believe God himself has ordained with man and woman. So I've spoken to many survivors of this transgender stuff that got some of these hormones and these procedures when they were children. And I've seen just how scarred their bodies are. I've met survivors like Chloe Cole who are going to have a lifetime of medicalization, permanent medicalization, because of the physical and psychological scars that these procedures are leaving behind. So we have a medical industry that I believe is profiting millions of dollars off of the destruction of these young children and their bodies. And it is absolutely immorally wrong and reprehensible. So no, that the children are precious. I love the children, but this ideology that's trying to confuse these kids and harming these children is absolutely outrageous. We've already passed a law that's put a stop to it. We're going to make that law permanent. We're not going to let our children be harmed.
Wheels, have a follow-up?
Yeah. So, Bill, the question I would ask is related to some of the ads, and it certainly isn't directed just at you. I think it's a little bit more about the larger political atmosphere that we're in the middle of. But imagery of things like flamethrowers and turning, you know, essentially neighbors and their ideologies against one another is something that I think is a nationwide theme. How do we get away from that when the imagery is I'm going to burn the things I don't agree with, or, you know, we're going to start getting into this side is wrong, my side is right. And I don't think it's a right or a left thing. I think it's a common thing. But it's my biggest concern in politics right now is that it's all about the fight. And it's not about, hey, I live next door to people that are going to see the world differently than me. I don't want to paint them in a side there where we need to bring flamethrowers to things that represent where they are.
Well, the reality is, and I have to be very candid about this, the things that I'm fighting against, the things that a lot of Missourians and Americans are fighting against, are those things that are trying to those things and those people that are trying to destroy us. The Chinese Communist Party is trying to destroy America. They're trying to destroy us. The ideology of this transgenderism that's being put on our children, they're trying to destroy our kids. They're trying to physically destroy them. So, I don't take any concern about whether or not the images that we're conjuring up are that serious, because we have to meet them and make sure that they're not allowed to destroy us. I keep talking about our need to protect each other, to protect our communities. The ideas that I have, everything from protecting the taxpayer because we're going to get rid of personal property tax, protecting our farmland because we're going to not sell it to China and other countries anymore, protecting our communities because we're going to detain and deport the illegals, and protecting our children because we're not going to allow the destruction of their minds and their body. I'm bold about that. And if folks are finding themselves offended that we're willing to fight and they're asking us, because I've had a lot of folks ask me if I'm going to pull my ads in the aftermath of the presidential assassination attempt, absolutely not. We're going to protect people, and we're going to unite people under the idea that we're going to protect our communities and we're going to protect one another, and we're not going to let harm come to those that want to destroy us.
That is State Senator Bill Igel from the 23rd District running for governor. Bill, where do people go if they want to learn more about you and your campaign?
BillEigel.com. It's a great website, maybe the best website you've ever seen. We've had thousands of folks sign up. It's got a lot of traffic. You can go on there. You can request a sign in yard. If you're called to make a donation to the campaign, you can do that as well. You can learn about our planks of ideas. And Dave, I just want to let you know, my wife wanted me to be sure to tell you she's a big fan of your show. She never listens to any of my interviews and all the political stuff, but she likes to listen to your show. So I just wanted to give you that bit of encouragement.
I appreciate it. Smart lady. Thank you, Bill. You're welcome anytime.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Wheels, we may need you to fight for Gen X.
Oh?
They're coming after us.
Let's go.
On TikTok, there's this new thing. I don't know if you've seen it, but like,
oh, yeah.
What are they talking about? They're going to rise up. What, out of their lazy boys?
You don't even want to know. There's like, seriously, like we are the, and I'm not saying like we're all the same because we're not. Just going by the generalizations. We were always the, like, with the mix of what you have with the old school, right? The boomers and the ones that come before, because we were feral. We were wild kids. We got hurt. We got in fights. You know, I always loved the jokes about how, like, when we needed to insult somebody, it always had to be to someone's face. And we were good at it and okay with it. You know, we could take those insults and deal with it. But mostly we've been pretty chill. And I mean, like, we haven't really gotten a lot. You know, you don't see, who are the big Gen X people in politics?
Yeah.
I mean.
Kamala.
Yeah.
Vice President.
Yeah. You know, because Obama's a boomer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, where's J.D. Vance fall? Is he a millennial?
I think he's a millennial. Yeah.
See, like, everybody's kind of like.
Kind of skip the X.
Well, that's because the current generation of leaders won't stop. Like, they're all going to work till they're 100. And, you know, look, in politics, what matters most of all is what? Having the big, deep war chest and name recognition. Well, when you're in the spot and you've got all of that, it's really hard for people to crack into that. But, yeah, we're an interesting group because we went from, like, for, you know, when we were young, what was the big vibe? The big vibe was, I don't care. Do whatever. We don't care.
And this is not about Gen X. This is every generation. Isn't it weird now being thought of as old?
Yeah.
I mean, when I was 20, 25, if I met someone who was about to turn 60, they're old.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Past old.
Yeah, and it's just, it is, this is why I think the whole generational thing, even though I'm kidding about all this other stuff, is that it's all just so dumb, right? Because we were, you know, Gen X was lazy slackers, skateboarders, you know, that was kind of the vibe when we were teenagers. And the truth is, we were just teenagers. You know, you were just young in your time, and that's what is judging. So that's why it's always been ridiculous, the millennials. Well, they're just young in their time.
In their time.
And the same thing with the Zoomers. And that's exactly right. And, you know, we were that.
If you destroyed video games and you gave them skateboards and told them that it was a new invention, they'd be skateboarding.
They're Gen X.
They'd be Gen X.
Yeah. And if you took us all back to 1948... when my parents were born, we would all be like them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why the whole thing is kind of goofy.
Every generation would have been the greatest generation had they been faced with what the greatest generation was.
Yes. Because they weren't, I mean, like, no generation is anything but a product of its generation.
Just humans.
Right.
Where was that fire when we had Bill Igel on?
Well, I was holding back a little bit.
335 DGS on KMOX. Who do we have coming up? Oh, Hancock. Fantastic. We have John Hancock coming up at 4 p.m. He always has great insight into everything going on with Donald Trump accepting the nomination tonight. It's a perfect time to talk to John. Dave Murray is otherwise occupied this week doing a big golf tournament that he does every week, but he's giving us a live look. And I say every week?
Yeah. I think it was a Freudian slip.
Total Freudian slip.
It does feel like that, though, don't it?
So my good friend Dave, piece of crap, is...
he went into Mr. Subliminal there.
Yeah, I really did. This is an annual
Kevin
golf
Nealon
tournament
character.
He does once a week. So here's his live look for today.
We are looking at some fantastic weather over the next several days. In fact, I think it's going to take us right through the weekend. Call it resort weather. Call it top 10 weather. Whatever you want. It is very, very acceptable in the month of July here in St. Louis. Not much going on with our weather. Things are pretty quiet. We've had a beautiful day today. How about this tonight? Clear skies for evening plans. We're looking at temperatures in the 70s and 59 for the overnight low. Also, take a look at that big bright moon. The full moon is coming up on Sunday. It's known as the full buck moon. Friday's weather, fantastic. Sunny, comfortable. 81 degrees for the high. Clear skies Friday night, 61. The weekend, wonderful. Saturday, partly to mostly sunny skies, 83. Sunday, partly sunny, 83. I think we'll start to get a little more unsettled as we get into Sunday night, Monday, and Tuesday of next week. But it's going to take a while for the moisture to return up from the south. So in the meantime, just simply enjoy some fantastic weather right through the weekend. Talk to you tomorrow.
Got to be careful staying full... buck.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Right?
Slow it down.
Slow it down, Dave. Dare you say it three times fast, Rich?
Nope. Not taking that dare.
Nope.
No thanks.
Give you a dollar.
I got bills to pay.
Before we do, stay away to Kevin. Kev, did you see that scientist? I know this happens about twice a year, as often as Dave joins us live, that they truly believe they haven't discovered Atlantis. They discovered it in 1904. It's it's not one of these things like the Japanese Atlantis where they're not sure yet whether it's man-made. It's man-made, and it's off the coast of Greece.
Yeah.
But these scientists who've been working on it since the 70s have said, look, we're not saying that all the stuff about Atlantis is true, all the paranormal stuff. We're just telling you that it appears that Plato based it on a real place, and we think this is it.
Yeah, is that near where they found the... Antikythera, that little the mechanism
that's
that
crazy,
nobody figured out, right?
And now we figured it out. Did you hear that?
Yeah, yeah.
We figured it out.
Yeah. But I mean, like,
it was a pachinko game.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
No, it was a chart of the stars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was not a 365-day calendar. It was like 368 days for some reason.
Right. And it was just kind of, it was like charting the time based on stars and the alignment of the stars and all that, which is crazy.
Unbelievable.
Crazy that they had that in this little machine with all those gears. Like,
even how they made one gear, much less all those gears to...
To do what it did in that time period.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And
so is it around that time?
It is.
Like what the discovery, because they found, I think I saw some video of this maybe a year or two ago of like, they saw the underwater path that looked like a man-made path. Is that what we're talking about? That place in Greece?
I don't know about that one. What you're describing sounds like the Bimini Road.
No, it's like that, but not there. Yeah.
Then it could be. You know more about this than I do.
I'm not big on the myths of Atlantis.
It's,
you know,
enough
magic and aliens. I'm not into that necessarily.
Existed.
But the fact that there is a sunken city that went into the ocean because of an earthquake or a series of earthquakes is fascinating.
Yeah.
Or Zeus.
I'm gonna be hearing that.
No,
in my
it is. I'm looking at the photos of the story you're talking about. Yeah, no, it looks like the Bimini Road, but it's not. It's this place off of Greece where they're like stones lined up on the ocean floor in a row, like it's a road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nuts. Stairway.
All right, so not quite that serious. In fact, completely the opposite of serious. I got to get a little nerddom out, and I got a broader question attached to it. So I watched the full season of the Disney Plus show, The Acolytes, a Star Wars show. I won't go into any of the show's details because anybody that wants to watch it, I don't want to spoil anything. I'm not going to name any names or any things that happened. But
Star Wars.
But it's a Star Wars story, and it's independent of the Skywalker saga. It's not a connection to that directly. It's in the same universe, but it's from like 100 years before The Phantom Menace. Okay, so we know this. It's 100 years before Phantom Menace, so that's, you know, when you find little child Anakin.
Okay.
But it is set in the Republic, the High Republic, the best days of the Republic before the Empire. But that show is done. I watched the whole thing. It got review bombed by people, which was ridiculous. It wasn't nearly as bad as the review bombers were making it seem. Like, at one point, it had like a 3.2 on IMDb, which, come on. I mean, it's not that bad. I watched the whole thing. But I got progressively more pissed off as it went, not at any of the stuff that people are mad about in the review bombs, right? They're mad because it's woke and it's, you know, all this other stuff. And what bothered me was they missed a big opportunity. This was a cool thing to explore. And a lot of the reveals, a lot of the big things that happen are either super obvious or don't make sense based on what we already have established in this world. And I wanted to take that and I wanted to jump off. Do you guys think that when you're making a piece of fiction, right, you're making a movie, a television show, that is based on a really popular thing, whether it's George R.R. Martin's books for Game of Thrones, or it's Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings movies, or the Avengers and all of the people and all of the comic book movies, do you think it's important that people that are making those are actually fans of that universe or that world to make it good? Because it feels like watching The Acolyte and a few of the other Star Wars shows lately that the people behind them were not fans. And the ones that do have fans behind them, like The Mandalorian, are actually really good. You know, the best thing that made those Lord of the Rings movies what they were was that I almost called him Steven Jackson. Peter Jackson.
That would have been very different.
I know. It would have really different. It would have been a lot of football. It would have been weird. But because Peter Jackson was such a fan of the books.
By the way, the last time I danced was with Steven Jackson.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he a good dancer?
Better than me.
You were stepping
on his toes. That's pretty good because he's a large man.
He's a big dude.
Yes, he is a large man. What made those movies great with Lord of the Rings was the passion that Peter Jackson had for getting things right, for being devoted to it. I think that was true for a lot of the Marvel movies.
And like the Beatles.
I think you're right. Yes. So regardless of what it is, it can be music, it can be entertainment, but when you are trying to be a part of an established universe that is loved... Mm-hmm. One thing I hate about sports movies is I can tell they're not made by people who watch sports.
Here's my
answer. That drives me crazy.
I think it helps a great deal until it becomes too much. Mm-hmm. That if you are the biggest Dave Matthews Band fan in the world and you make a movie, it's probably not going to be attractive to me because you are just too into it. So I think there can be a danger to it. That people who are super fans do it, but I'll take my chances with that as opposed to someone who's really not. And now I'm creating a fake person and giving them a personality, but I think you'll follow me here. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people who take on projects and they're not a fan, they're like, I'm doing this my way. I'm doing this the way it should have been done from the beginning. And then you lose the fans.
Yeah, and I think that has happened with some of the Star Wars movies and shows, but I think for other universes as well. We've seen that with some of the recent Marvel movies where they just didn't hit. And you're like, well, the only reason that material doesn't work is because the people that are in charge of writing and making it don't get the fan base. And I'm not saying you have to kiss their butts and always be perfect. You can take some chances. You can do some different things.
Was this made by fans or not fans?
It looks like it comes from people that were not fans of the originals, that don't have the quote unquote OG status. Because, and like I said, when I see something like that that's made about sports, but by people that don't really know sports, you can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell. It's one of the things that drives me the craziest about sports movies. I can always tell. Did the people behind this, writing this, did they have anybody at all who's ever been involved with things or not? And you can tell right away when they don't, or they don't listen to them, which is a lot of the case. And it seems to me like a waste of time. If you're going to be a movie studio, if you're going to be Disney or any other big movie maker or TV maker, if you're not going to get that franchise right, then do something else, because there's less risk and less cost, right? It's expensive to make these types of shows and movies, and there's just so many times where, I mean, like, you know, like using, you don't have to be, like you said, David, you don't have to be a super fan, but, you know, the Doors movie was good because somebody in that who wrote that, and obviously the it was based on, I believe it was based on book, right? But it was the people that were involved were fans of it and understood Jim Morrison and understood where he came from in his life. Now, do you dramatize? Do you change? Of course. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about missing core things, right? Like, it would be like making a Beatles movie and missing John Lennon.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You just leave him out. Like, that's the kind of stuff that drives me nuts. And I would think that if you're spending as much money as you are on these things, you would get that.
352 DGS on KMOX. John Hancock coming up at the top of the hour. Headlines, Rach?
Absolutely. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. We've been talking about it on and off, but Biden is being called, quote, more receptive to hearing pleas for him to step aside. While he has not given any indication that he is actually changing his mind about staying in the race, he has been willing to listen to rundowns of new and worrying polling data and has asked questions about how Vice President Kamala Harris could win.
Yeah, evidently, and I know you guys have probably heard this, but in case you haven't, evidently yesterday, Nancy Pelosi went to the White House and showed him actual polling data. And he said, I want my guy to look at this. So they got that guy on the phone and they looked at it. And then Barack Obama, in some way, whether in person or not, reached out and said to Joe Biden, the polling data shows that you're going to lose. And Chuck Todd says that his sources say in the next 10 days, a lot of people are saying this weekend, I'm beginning to feel like it's going to happen. But just he's not being quite as stubborn and obstinate about it and saying conciliatory things and talking about a possible Kamala Harris presidency. I feel like whether it's this weekend or 10 days or 20 days, I feel like he's probably going to drop out.
I didn't think so.
I didn't either a week ago.
All along. I mean, even before, because there are a lot of people, he's going to drop out. He's not going to run. I didn't believe it. But when you're putting these particular names and the word is getting out publicly, mm-hmm. right? It's not just behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. When you're hearing names like Pelosi and Schiff and Obama, like those are people that are big voices. And it's not that's after the, you know, Hollywood people have already done it and a whole bunch of other like lower level people have done it. When it gets to the level, though, of like Pelosi and Obama, that means it's probably going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a goofy analogy, but if it were the DGS and I were 81 and you're coming to me and saying, if you do another contract, the DGS will cease to exist. But if you hand it off to Rachel, you know, who's younger than you, she could keep it going. If randos came to me, I'd be like, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, back in the gay Lincoln, and I was a bit of a genius. But if you came to me, and if Steve Moore came to me, and everyone said, hey, dude, handwriting's on the wall,
yeah.
it would mean a lot more.
And we'd all be almost your age, too. So we would sound just like you.
I really like the idea of carrying on the show and just continuing to call it the Dave Glover Show.
Yeah. I have my limitations.
Yeah.
But she can have it on one condition.
Never forget where you came from.
Kamala can run, but she has to run as President Joe Biden.
Yeah, she's got to change her name to Joe Biden.
Let's see, one more really quick, well, we're supposed to take a break, but one more really quick story. The Trump campaign won't agree to a VP debate because they said they don't know who the Democratic nominee for vice president is going to be, implying that Biden's probably going to drop out. So
yeah, it's a little weak sauce. They should keep going with the tough guy thing.
I would say just like whoever it is, let's go.
Let's set it up.
That's how I'd do it.